Blog Talk Radio.
God is. This is Reverend Frankie Dorsey and his present minister, Word Evangelist. Our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Doris Dorsey, once again as we come today, greeting you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We come today in thanksgiving and praise, giving him all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, giving God all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. And this brother minister, Word Evangelism, is a Great Commission ministry. As a Great Commission ministry, we have been called and commissioned to go into the world preaching and teaching the gospel, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We are an evangelistic ministry that carry the gospel message of the kingdom throughout the world. We just thank God for this day. We thank God for how he's using all the things for his good. And we just thank God. We thank God for being here today as we come again. Our pastor, the Reverend Dr. Doris Dorsey, had a vision years ago that we would preach and teach the 66 books of the Bible. And we've been on that endeavor for a number of years. And like I said before, it's no way possible that we can do it in a lifetime. Because somebody said, well, you can read the 66 books and know God reveals as he speaks to us. He speaks to us in his word. God give us the word of God as he speaks to us. Faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. As he speaks to us in his word, and as he reveals himself to us, as we spend time with him in an intimate relationship, and he speaks to us in a still, quiet voice in the word. And as we come claiming his word, claiming the blood of Jesus, and claiming the authority, and as we come in his holy and divine name, doing his will. As we continue in the Gospels, as we have been in the Gospel, we will stay in the Gospel as I've prayed on him, and we preach the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the kingdom. And as we teach and preach, we look at the whole counsel of God. And it's all about Jesus, from Genesis to Revelation. It's about nobody else. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about God Almighty. And we thank God for that, because he give us this word. He give us the word of God, and it's all about his word, him and him only. God is Father, God is Son, God is Holy Spirit, God is one. And as we come and as we study the word, it's all about God. And as we listen to the music that Pastor Dorsey put in earlier, God is. It's all about him. And as he give us the word to live by, the word of God also is for our day-to-day walk, our day-to-day life. As we have application, as we apply it to our lives on a day-to-day basis. And he also give us illustrations so that we can understand it. He makes it very clear to us. He gives us all of the illustration in the historical books, as well as in Psalms, as well as by the prophets. And he gives us illustrations. He doesn't leave anything out for us. Makes it very clear to us. God revealed himself. As he revealed himself in the Word, he revealed himself in Scripture. He revealed himself in his Son, Jesus, and he revealed himself in his creation. The Apostle Paul writes about it. The Apostle Paul makes it very clear to us in Romans, the first chapter, around about the 17th verse, that God has revealed himself to us in general revelation as well as special revelation, and the Word became flesh. And as he revealed himself to us, Paul makes it clear to us that when we come before God, there won't be any excuse. We can't say, well, God, I didn't know. Again, he will hold us accountable, because he said, I even reveal myself to you in nature, the creation. And so Paul makes it clear to us that when we step out this morning on December 31st, 2013, and we look out into nature, God revealed himself. And so as he revealed himself in nature and his creation, he revealed himself to us in his Son, Jesus. He revealed himself to us in the Word. No excuse. There won't be any excuse. I know we have all kind of things that we can come up with, all kind of rationalization, way we try to deconstruct the Word of God, how we try to use philosophies and all the other scientific means to deconstruct and come up with other theories, but there will not be an excuse when we stand before God. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Every knee, the Bible says, every knee. in every tongue, no matter who that person is or where that person is. Salvation have come to mankind. God came back in the person of Jesus Christ. God came in the person of Jesus Christ and brought salvation. God is with us. God's come to what? To save and redeem us. He came to seek and save that which is lost. Now, we're not on a quest to find God. God came and seeked us out. And he come to seek us out. Jesus said, I come to seek and save. He never told me one time that I have to seek him and find him. He sought me out. He sought you out. When I was dead in my trespasses, not able to do anything for myself, he sought me out. Somebody said, well, you know, the Bible said for you to seek him while you can yet find him. Yes, seek him while we can yet find him. But yet and still, he sought me out when I was dead in my trespasses. Stop and think about it. Give it some serious thought. But when you were dead in your trespasses, when we were dead in our trespasses, we were doing all kinds of things. We were in the enemy camp. Satan was our ruler. He lorded over us. We wasn't seeking Jesus. Somebody said, well, what were we doing? We were doing all those things that the Bible pointed out to us, reviling, partying, doing everything else, just like in the day of Noah. We were reviving, partying, everything, eat, drinking, being merry, dead in our trespasses, dead in our sins. God sent Jesus Christ, and he came, and he sought me out. And I say that because sometimes we think that, hey, you know, I found him. I looked and I found him. No, he sought me out. He found me. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for giving us that revelation. I thank God for making it clear to us as he when he outlined in his word the mission, why he came. I came to seek and save that which is lost. And as we have gone through all of we've gone through the season, which is the day, the 31st and the night, we won't mention it anymore until the next time, the season, and we'll lay it back and put it on the shelf. And we will wait until the next time it comes up, and we will start the whole process again. And I said early on in the teaching and the preaching that we celebrate Christ Jesus daily. We present this body as a living sacrifice daily. We present it daily, celebrating daily. God is with us daily. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So we celebrate him daily as we come in prayer and thanksgiving and worship and praising and bowing before him and celebrating him daily. Because as we come before him, Jesus Christ, name above all names. There's no name. No name above his name. As we bow before him and celebrate him daily. It's not just a season for us. We worship him. We worship him. And we praise him. And we thank him. And as we search the scriptures, and we talked about salvation, and the salvation, the main tenet of scripture when we come to salvation, because without salvation, we will all be still lost. God so loved the world, John 3:16 said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so whosoever believes him shall not perish, but have everlasting life, eternal life. He brought salvation to us. He gave it to us as the gift, God's greatest gift. His son Jesus come bringing salvation. And the word became flesh and tabernacle with us. And he didn't leave us by ourselves. All along, wondering, waiting for his return. But instead, he sent the Holy Spirit to indwell us, to teach us, to lead us, to guide us, to transform us and to empower us. So God did all this for us as we continue to celebrate him. And as we come today in the celebration, God does something as we look at the celebration of Christ Jesus, not only but we looked at his birth, the incarnation, and the word became flesh and the Word became flesh. As if we look there, we see the incarnated Christ be out here still as we see him walk among men. Living and walking, God comes and live and walk among men. And the world and the Word became flesh and he tabernacled with us. God in the flesh, as he came to tabernacle with us. And so as we look and we take a close look at this, let's keep this in mind as we continue to search the scriptures. As we continue to search the scriptures. Salvation. I said that's the word that most of us look at and we hear it and we say, salvation, God saved us. And it's just not something that he saved us. It's one of those words that is all-encompassing. He redeemed us. He purchased us with his precious blood. He redeemed us. He rescued us. He delivered us. And so as we stand in thanksgiving and praise, we thank him for that. As we continue to look at this salvation, this great salvation, Paul asks us, in Hebrews, the Hebrew writer asked the question, how can we neglect this salvation? And sometimes you'll find, he asks this question because we'll find some people will come and give their life to Christ and come and follow him and be a believer and following after him, and others will neglect it and others will reject it. Salvation. Salvation came to the world. Salvation. Emmanuel with us. God saves. And as we look at the scriptures today, our background scripture will come out of Luke, the second chapter, verses 25 through 35, a familiar passage of scripture. And then that passage of scripture, we'll see, as it is written, we'll see that something is happening here, and it's at the temple. It started out by saying, and there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. That's the background scripture right there, verse 25. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And what was he waiting for? He was waiting for the consolation. The consolation. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Spirit was upon him. As I read it from the New American Standard, we read it from the King James. Let's take a look at that word again, because sometimes if you read it from the New American Standard, we'll overlook it. It said looking. But when we go to the King James Version, as I turn there, out of the King James Bible, when we get there, and we will see in the King James, it reads as following. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem, whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Waiting. That's the word I want you to see. Not just looking, waiting. And our topic today, we will look at waiting. Waiting. We find Simeon, he is waiting for the consolation. Why does he wait? Because it's been spoken to him to wait. Waiting for the consolation, to wait. And our topic today is we want to focus our attention on waiting. I was going through some things. I was going through a lot of thinking and praying and all, and I heard God's still, quiet voice say one word, wait. And I woke up and I raised up. I wasn't asleep. I raised up and I heard it clear. Wait. And I was really praying on some things that was going on that I was trying to make a decision, asking God for wisdom and ask him to help me to make wise decisions as far as problem solving. See, God, we still solve problems. Somebody said, well, God solved all the problems. He'll solve the problem. No, he leaves us in that situation where we still solve problems. And as I was going through it, he told me not to worry. He told me to be content. He told me to live above the circumstances. And he was constantly working with me that live by faith and not by sight. And there wasn't no great big old thing that you would stop and think, I was trying to make this big decision. It was something that I just had to make a decision on. And it was not something that required a whole bunch of anything. It was just a decision. But it was a decision about something that was going on in my life. Something that was in my life, I asked God about it. And he said, wait. And I was speaking with this minister, and the minister told me that God told her to wait. And what she did was she said that she packed up and left on her own volition. And later on regretted it because she said that God told her to wait. And she said, I know God told me to wait. So God told me to wait, and I just packed up and left on my own volition. And he spoke clearly to me in the word, spoke clear to me in the spirit to wait. So as we're looking at waiting is one of those things that most of us, we look at it from out of a humanistic perspective, and we're looking at it and from out of this humanistic perspective, we see it as just waiting. God said, wait. Here in the scriptures, we'll find Simeon is waiting for the consolation. He's looking, waiting, looking. Let me read it from the American Standard again. They say in verse 25, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And then it goes on to say in verse 26, and it had been revealed to him, watch, underline reveal, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. The Holy Spirit had revealed it. God had revealed it to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. Until he had seen him, seen God. Can you imagine that? The Holy Spirit had revealed this to him, that he would see the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, we're speaking about the Messiah. He will not see death until he sees the Messiah. And Israel is waiting for the Messiah to come. Throughout Scripture, you'll find Israel waiting for the Messiah to come. Even in the Old Testament. The Old Testament writes about the Messiah, the coming of the Messiah, the Christ. We get in the Greek word Christos in the Greek. Emmanuel, God is with us. Jesus, God saved. And so we find here the Holy Spirit had revealed this to him. The Holy Spirit gave him a revelation. The Holy Spirit revealed to Simeon that he would not see death until he see the Christ, the Messiah. This is Simeon. He's a prophet. He's taking care of the temple. He's in the temple. So as we look at this waiting, we find him waiting there. He's been there. It's just not something that just happened overnight now. The Bible never went in detail when God revealed this to him. Never said when God revealed this to him. And as the Spirit take us, and the Spirit can take us over to Anna, And take a look, let's take a look at her, because we're not going to go right there, because she bare witness to the Redeemer. And there was one Anna, verse number 36, in the same chapter 2. And there was one Anna, a prophetess and daughter of Phineal, which is, we know who he is, of Phineal, of the tribe of Asher, another Old Testament person, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And the woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart, well, listen to this, did not depart from the temple, but served God with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all the who look for the redemption of Jerusalem. 84 years. Now, you do the math. The woman, a widow, about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, was of great age. And they say how old she was. And had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. 7 years from her virginity. So we can stop and look at and start doing all the calculations and all the math and everything else and wonder why they gave us all that information. But yet and still, he gave us that information for a reason. They didn't say how many years it was, but they made it very clear that she was of great age. And that means that somewhere Simeon and Anna had heard about the Spirit had revealed to them long before about the coming of Christ. Because the scriptures say, and coming in the instant, she gave thanks to the Lord. She gave thanks to God. She gave thanks to God, spoke of him to all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem. Verse number 38. And as we look here, we'll see something's going on here. They are waiting. I think sometimes when we read scripture, we see it, we look at it, and it looks like it just happened a couple of days. It just happened, it's coming to pass in a real fast time, a couple of days. People ask me questions about in Genesis, about the time between the flood, when Adam and the time between the flood. We have, the Bible is not clear, it doesn't give us how much time lapsed, in the time lapse does not set the timelines that we can just pinpoint and say, oh, this was 20 years, 1,000 years to 2,000 years. But here, we find that the Bible give us a glimpse. This was time. This was just them sitting there, and all of a sudden the Spirit speak to him, and it happened a couple of days later. He's waiting. Anna is great in age, and she is waiting. Waiting. And I think sometime when we stop and we look at this, we must look very close to ourselves at what it takes to wait. What is waiting? What does it take to, I mean, what are the requirements when it comes to wait? When God speaks to you and tells you to wait, what is he telling you? What is he really saying to you when he tells you to wait? Do I wait passively? Because this wait that we speak about is an action word. It's not something that we just wait passively for. We sit and wait passively for it to happen. Waiting on the Lord. And the scriptures that as we search the scriptures and look and we see it here. And let's go back to the Simeon. So we brought up Anna, so we want to see show this correlation, running a parallel. To see that they have been there for years. They said she was of great age. Great age. And as we look at this, let's get, so we can kind of focus in on this. God will come and tell you to wait, and then we thought of putting a time limit on it. How long is it going to take? when it's going to take, how he's going to do it, and so we try to fix it in place. You know, God can tell you to wait today on December 31st, 2013, and it come to pass December 31st, 2025. But he tells us to wait. Our thoughts are not his thoughts, his ways are not his ways. And he always wants us to not to lean to our own understanding. So that's something about waiting. We start leaning to our own understanding. God told me this, or maybe he told me that. But when God speak, when the Holy Spirit speak, it is. I mean, we don't have to stop and start looking for some other way or some other solution. We just wait. So the Bible tells us here, as we look at Simeon, verse number 25, he's been waiting, he's been looking for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ, the Messiah. And he came in the Spirit. Now watch this, he was led by the Spirit, and he came in the Spirit into the temple when the parents brought the child Jesus to carry out for him the custom of the law. Then he took him in his arm and blessed God and said, "Now, Lord, you are releasing your bondservant to depart in peace according to your word." On the line, according to your word. According to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation. My eyes have seen your salvation. Underline your salvation. Which you prepared in the presence of all people, a light, a revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people Israel. And his father and mother was amazed at the thing that was being said about him. And speaking of Jesus, they were amazed. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, the child is appointed for fall and rise for many in Israel, and for the sign to be opposed. And the sword would pierce even your own soul to the end that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed." And as he say this, he speaks to her, the child. He speaks about the child. As he speaks about the child in this prophetic earnest, and as we come and look at the first word, as we look at it in the other text, this song stresses that Jesus, it stresses that Jesus is the universal Savior. Jesus is the universal Savior. He blessed him. He blessed us. And he's the universal Savior. Now, we're not going to preach and teach universalism here, because somebody will say, if he's the universal Savior, then do I have to come because I'm saved automatic. No, it's not. It's not one of those stamp of approval that he came and he saved everybody automatic. So God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So whosoever believes in him, he's a universal Savior, but whosoever believe in him shall not perish. Come by faith. We come by faith. Not through a belief system, not through some belief system, but by faith. By faith. We put our trust in him. We walk in faith, and we trust him. We surrender our life and our will to him. We repent, turn from our sin, and follow him. We confess our sins and follow him. Whosoever believe in him. And this belief is not a belief system that most of us think about as far as the belief system, because we all have a belief system. We believe things. But this is faith. We have faith in him. Our faith, our hope is in him. We operate in faith. We are led by the Spirit. And we have faith, and we believe that the just live by faith. And so we operate in faith. Simeon, God has spoken to him, and he believed by faith. And he waits Anna, by faith, all the years operating in faith. So it's not a universal salvation, but he died once and for all, the scriptures say. That he's a universal savior. The universal savior. He's our king, our Lord, and our savior. He redeemed us. He purchased us. Note that Simeon said, your bondservant. Simeon described himself as a bondservant to God. And you hear us saying that we are bondservants to Christ Jesus. Not because that we are slave, because we are bondservant, we serve him. We serve him out of love. I serve him out of love. You serve him out of love. Why do we serve him out of love? Because we see in Scripture, he saved what? He let us know. Not only did he save us when we came to him and repented and confessed our sin and was brought into the household of God by faith, by the grace of God and by faith, a gift, and we was brought into the household of God. Then Jesus called us friend, and then in Hebrews he said he's not ashamed to call us brother. So we're in the household. And we serve him. He's our Lord, King of kings, Lord of lords. Because we believe, we operate in faith. And see, what happens is we find ourselves at some point back in 34, in verse number 34, then Simon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Underline fall and rising. For a sign which would be spoken against. What is Simeon telling us here? I said he's the universal Savior. Jesus Christ is the universal Savior. But Simeon also come back and speak to them that not everyone will accept the salvation that Jesus offered. Not everyone will accept the salvation. That's why I said it's not this. When we hear people talk about universal salvation, that's a trick of the enemy, trying to come in with some liberal theology and say, well, you know, God loves us all. He gave His Son. He gave salvation to everybody. He died once and for all. Yes, He did. But not everybody will accept the salvation. Now, I said earlier, how can we neglect it? In Hebrews, we see this neglect. He asked the question, but yet and still, everyone won't accept this, will not accept this salvation. And so Simeon let us know here that not everyone will accept the salvation that Jesus offered. Some will stumble over it. Some will stumble over it. We see it all the time. All the time, I watch television. I hear people on television. They even write it into the script sometimes. And ask that question about Jesus, or ask about God, or do you believe in all this, and they'll make a very negative connotation about it. Some will stumble over it. God give us the gift, the good and perfect gift of salvation, and some will stumble over it. God reconciled mankind back to himself, and some will stumble over it. God restored mankind just like it was in the beginning, and some will stumble over it. Reconciliation with the ministry of reconciliation, and people will stumble over it. Simeon made it very clear here, because sometimes we stop and we look at it and we're talking about it. And Simeon makes it very clear in this prophetic word. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, our sword will pierced through your own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And as you speak here, he let us know And if we look at the, he let us know, he said, the thoughts. And so as we come, we focus our attention on Simeon. We see that he is a man of God, Anna, a woman of God, a prophetess. Simeon, he's taking care of the temple. He's a priest, and he's a devout man of God, and he takes care, and he's waiting, and he's there, and he's waiting. God has spoken to them, revealed to them, and when he speaks to us, he reveals to us. And he tells us of things to come. Simeon sees the salvation, and it comes to pass. When God speaks something to us, and he speaks it into our heart, and he speaks it to us, it will come to pass. When a prophet comes, and we see the sign of a prophet, keep this in mind. When we come to a prophet, and not a false prophet, when that prophet speaks it to you, it will come to pass. And he speaks this prophetic word to Mary, it comes to pass. When God spoke to him, it came to pass. And he stands, and as he goes through this prophetic utterance, he shows us right here that God has spoken it, and it has come to pass. Throughout scriptures, when the prophets speak, it comes to pass. Jeremiah reminds us of that. The scriptures remind us of that. And the sign of a true prophet is what? Well, the utterance, the prophetic utterance will come to pass. If God said it, it will come to pass. Somebody said, well, the prophet spoke over my life. And went, you know, well, then somebody can come back and say, well, you're still waiting. See, you have to watch this real closely because when he speaks over your life, when he speaks something over your life, that doesn't mean that it's going to happen tomorrow. When God said it's going to come to pass, it will come to pass, and it will come to pass in your lifetime. Somebody said, well, you mean to tell me that if the prophet spoke to me about something today, it may be 20 years from, it might be 20 years from now. That's what I'm saying. Well, that sounds like some type of trickery there. No, I'm not saying that. It will come to pass. Because watch what he said. Watch what he said here. Very closely. I want you to take a note and watch what he said. Here in Luke's gospel about Simeon. He mentioned here about the Holy Spirit. Looking for the consolation of the ears, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit was upon him. God has given us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit moving. The Holy Spirit was upon him. The Holy Spirit, if he revealed it to him, the Holy Spirit it will reveal it to you. It's not just a blind thing that we sit there and you'll say, well, you know, this looks like something that's going to happen. Come with a prophetic word, a prophetic utterance. The Holy Spirit is upon him. And you are in Christ Jesus, and you have the Holy Spirit, have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit. Keep that in mind. It's that same Spirit. It's nothing separate here. Somebody said, well, the prophet spoke a prophetic word upon me, and I'm waiting. But then if he spoke it upon you, and this dispensation has become with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is with you, you indwelt with the Holy Spirit, they're speaking and indwelt with the Holy Spirit, so it will be revealed. It's not something that we're just going to be sitting around like, well, you know, I can wait. Somebody says something, and I didn't get no feeling out of this. It's not a feeling thing. It's not an emotional thing. It's not knowledge. It's not intellect. It's the moving of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit moves, and then we'll be in agreement. Being in agreement. So it's not something that somebody has come up and said, well, I spoke to you about this is going to happen. God told me to tell you, and the Spirit is not nowhere working in this. This is not fortune telling, and it's not wishful thinking. Have to make that clear. Have to really make that clear, because somebody hearing this will say, well, you know, God spoke it to the prophet. The prophet spoke it to me, and he told me to wait 20 years. God will speak it to you, too. It won't be one of those things where you're just sitting around just waiting. God speak it to you. As God speaking to you, and he tell you to wait. And we have to be real careful with this, because sometimes somebody will speak something to us, and the spirit haven't, you know, and we're not receiving it from God. There's no way God is going to say something to us and leave us in the dark. God is not going to leave us operating in the dark. We have been led by the Spirit. Note what the scripture said here about Simeon. It said, we revealed to him by what? By the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was on him. It was revealed by the Holy Spirit that we did not see death before he had seen the Lord Jesus Christ. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. It was revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. And we must keep this in mind, because once we come here waiting, God tell us to wait. The Holy Spirit revealed it to us. And when he tells us to wait, and we've been praying on him, we've been praying. Notice that Anna here, she's praying. And that the Spirit take us there. And now there was a one Anna, a prophet, our daughter Phinehas, the tribe of Asher. She was a great age, and she had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this one was a widow. And about 84 years old, she's not departed from the temple, but served God with fasting and praying night and day. Fasting and praying night and day. So we are fasting and we are praying, and God revealed it to us. Not wishful thinking, not hocus pocus. When the prophet comes and bring the message, and not hocus pocus, not wishful thinking. The Holy Spirit reveals. You would know that the Holy Spirit revealed, because the Holy Spirit revealed it to you. And we seek God through what? Fasting and praying. Fasting and praying. And God revealed it to us. Wait on the Lord. He said, wait. And sometimes when he comes, he tells us to wait, and we'll wait. And when we look here, we see Simeon. And if we speak about him, you see, he made his way to the temple. And you know, we might wonder, you know, just stop and put ourselves and wonder if Simeon thought that the years must be catching up on me now. See, sometimes that happens. You know, the years are catching up on me now. Here's Anna, she's 84 years, she's of great age, she's 84 years, but no, they didn't go into no detail how old she was. They kind of gave it to us in bits and pieces here, because it says 7 years, she's been married with her husband, 7 years from her virginity, and she was about 84 years, and the woman was of about 84 years. It reads this way, until she was 84 years. So she's great in age. Can you imagine Simeon and Anna? Let's go back to Simeon, because that's where we're at. He's getting older. God has revealed something to him in his young age. See, the Bible is not real clear on this age thing, because he had revealed it to him somewhere. Now he's getting older. That's getting inside of his mind. He's getting older. God has revealed this to him. And the Holy Spirit had revealed this to him at a younger age. Maybe he's 30 years old when he comes into the ministry, because he's in the temple. And his ministry begins when he's about 30 years old. And so now he's getting older. Can you imagine? He's getting older, and he is catching up. And how long I would have to wait for God to answer my prayer. Can you imagine him still praying and fasting and still waiting for God to answer his prayer? Because that happened to us sometime. as I get older and I start aging, and I'm aging and I'm praying and I'm asking God, and I'm how long will I have to wait until God answer my prayer? Somebody said, I want to ask a question like, yeah, getting older, praying and asking God, you know, as far as using you for service and whatever, you know, what do you want me to do? Or willing to do what he wants you to do. I'm willing to do it. I surrender to you. I surrender my life, my will to you. What do you want me to do? Mary said to when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was at his Canaan, our words that I said once before that goes across all generations, whatever he's telling you to do, do it. See? And so we're sitting here and we're waiting and we're anticipating. Time is winding down. And here's Simeon, with time winding down, waiting to see the consolation, waiting to see the Messiah, as time is winding down. We don't know how many years he waited. It appears that he waited a long time. Sometime when God comes and the Holy Spirit moves us and he reveals it to us, and it doesn't just happen overnight. Long periods of time in between. Long periods of time in between. And he's waiting, but he's in prayer, and he's been in prayer. He's in prayer. And we find out that she's in prayer and fasting, waiting. By faith, operating in faith, God said it, it's going to happen. It will happen in my lifetime because God said it would happen. And God is not a man, he shall lie. God said it. If God said it, it's going to happen. If God spoke it to you, it's going to happen. When God speaks it to you, it's going to happen. It will happen. And we don't have to do anything to manipulate it to make it happen. Like I said earlier, we don't know if it was 5 or 10 years or 20 years that he had received a special word from God. We have to keep in mind that when God speaks something to us, each day pass, each day he allowed us to stand before him, each day his grace and mercy is new each day. And as he allows us to stand before us, each day it continues to move towards the promise. It doesn't matter if it's 5 years, 10 years, or 50 years. Each day will bring us closer to the fulfillment of God's promise. And we find Simeon here. We don't know how many years it was, but each day brought him closer to the fulfillment of God's promise that he will not see death before he has seen the Lord Christ. Luke 2:26. Might have told him when he was 30 years old. I don't know. The Bible's not clear on it. And might have told him when he was 32 years old. But he is way up in age, and he won't see death until you have seen the Messiah. Anticipation, expectation. We're talking about waiting. Watch those words, anticipating and expectation. Because when we come to looking at the definition of the word, it's not a passive thing that we do. Wait. When we look into a dictionary, like the Farley Dictionary, we find this word wait, and we find it. It said to look and expectantly wait. As we stop and we look at it from the dictionary, that was the biblical. I just read it to you, but when we look in the regular Farley Dictionary, we'll find that it means to remain or rest in expectation. Remain or rest in expectation. I like that definition, even though it's coming from the Farley Dictionary, which is not a biblical dictionary. It's a regular dictionary. Remain a rest in expectation. Remain a be in readiness. Be in readiness. Remain a be in readiness. Watch these words. Expectation, remain or rest in expectation or rain or be in readiness. I mean constant readiness, a constant state of readiness, alert and readiness. I said to one time, I said, you know, if you ever watch the Marine Corps, the Marines, they go into combat. When they come out of combat, they just don't sit back. They get ready for the next fight. They're in a constant state of readiness. They're in a constant state of readiness. They're already on ready alert. They're already there in a constant state. So when it comes to waiting, waiting is an action word. It's not something you're sitting back passively waiting on something to happen. God spoke to me. I'm praying to him. I'm just sitting back here passively waiting for something to happen. Watch this analogy again when we go back to the Marine Corps. The Marines, when they come back in a combat situation, they come back, they sit down, and they put their gear together, and they're getting ready for the next fight. They're getting ready. They're ready. They're a constant state of action. They're in an action mode, and they're constantly getting ready for the next move. So when we look at weight, weight is saying that we, what? As we look at this definition by Farley, remain or rest in expectation, expecting the next move, the next thing to happen. And then they say, remain or be in readiness, in a constant state of readiness, on ready alert. That is what wait is about. Waiting for it to happen, anticipating it to happen, expecting it to happen. By faith, believing it, that it's already happened, it's going to happen. God said it, he promised it, he keeps his promise. When the Holy Spirit move and speak to us in a still, quiet voice, wait. Then he tells us what to wait for. He doesn't tell us to wait. He tells us to wait. What to wait for. He revealed to why he told us to wait. Stand still and wait. So Father also goes and let us know when we look at this definition. He brings up a definition of that is something that usually happens with us when it comes to waiting. God tells Simeon, he might be, I'm just going to give him an age. He's 35 years old. We don't know. And here he is, an old man. Anna, she's a young woman. And now she's an old woman. And she's praying and fasting. And she's waiting in anticipation with an expectancy that God is going to do what he said he's going to do. Father tells us that waiting can be, watch this definition, to remain temporary. To remain temporary? What does he tell us about remaining temporary? To remain temporary? No, waiting is not remaining temporary. No, it's not. See, that's what happens when it comes to us when we get into the flesh. Remain temporary. Neglect to remain. See, remain temporary, neglect. Let me give it to you in order. Remain temporary, neglect. To remain neglected for a time. This is the definition of wait. Unattended. To postpone an action until the end. To put it off. That's what it's all saying. Just to postpone it, put it off. Well, you know, just postpone it, just put it off. And we still think waiting is, you know, we just going to put it off for a while. We're going to postpone it for a while. It's going to be a temporary thing. And see, God is not looking at waiting as a postponement. It's an action word, I said to you earlier. It's not neglect to remain neglected for a time or unattended to, or postpone an action to the end. Postpone it to the end. Let's give an example of that. Postpone to the end. To wait for the storm to be over. The storm is going on, so we said we're going to wait here until the storm is over. We're going to postpone it to the end. When it's over, we'll come out. That's not what God's talking about. God's not telling us to sit around and wait for something. We just wait. We'll postpone it to the end. We'll just see what God's going to do about it. No, he's not telling us that we just wait and see what he's going to do about it. He told us in the Spirit, His Holy Spirit revealed it to us. He tells us, and that period of time, we wait in anticipation each day. It might just happen today. It might just happen today. Jesus Christ might just come back today. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. He might just come back today. As we wait for Him to come, He might just show up today. And every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what the Scriptures tell us. He might just come back today. So we wait, what? We wait in anticipation. We wait with an expectancy. We wait because He's promised to us that He will come back. He will come back. And we remain at rest in this expectation. And we remain and we are in a constant state of readiness. We watching and we praying. Watching, praying. Anticipating when He'll come back. Waiting for Him to come back. And see, and that's what the Scriptures tell us. And so, and as we look and as we live on our day-to-day life, God speaks to us, and He speaks to us in the Holy Spirit. He tells us, He reveals it to us in the Holy Spirit. Then we have that same expectancy. I expect it to happen. I'm coming with this expectancy that it's going to happen. It will come to pass. The Lord always keeps His promises. He always keeps His promises. He always keeps His promises. And when He promises something, the Lord always keeps His promises. Throughout Scripture, everything that He tells in Scripture, He keeps His promises. He always keeps His promise. And as we look at this wait and we go to Scripture and we go into Lamentation, let's go into Lamentation and take a look at it. Because once we go into Lamentation in the Old Testament, chapter 3, verses number 25. Look at this word, wait again. Jeremiah writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let's start at verse number 22. Because this is a tough time. Things are going on. The children of Israel has been taken into captivity out of their sins. See, sometimes we think that, well, God won't punish you. God punishes sin. He's just. He punishes sin. He put the children of Israel in captivity. They're under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, and they're there. Jeremiah is writing Lamentation as he laments. As he's writing here. At the book of Jeremiah, we find that the children of Israel has been taken into captivity. Jeremiah writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as he writes, verse number 22, I'll begin there. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassion failed not. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, 322, because His compassion failed not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who seek Him. Verse number 25 is the one I want you to take a very close look at. And I want you to look at all of them, but take a very close look. So we're talking about wait. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to the soul who see Him. Verse number 23, 22 and 23. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. Speaking verse number 22 and 23, looking at the mercy of God. When we look at this word wait here, we see this word here in the Strong Dictionary. I just gave you Farley. But it's not that much different, because Farley, he's given a very good definition of it. Not that one we sitting back doing nothing passively, but waiting passively, neglecting, unattended, and all. The one that's what he said, Father said, is arrest, and expectation remain or be in readiness. In the Strong Dictionary number 6960, in your Strong Dictionary, you'll see the Hebrew word kavah, which is wait in the Hebrews. Look up the number. It's much easier. Strong number 6960. And it's to wait for. This is what this wait we're talking about. To wait for. To look for. Expect. Hope. That's where we get the word hope. So we expect it. We look for it. We wait for it. It's not something passive. We're in a constant state of readiness. Our mind is in a constant state of expectation. We expect it to happen anytime. We expect Christ Jesus to come back today. Every morning we wake up, we expect him to come. We wait in expectation. Our hope is in him. We anticipate his coming. And so if we wait for him, we look for him, we expect it. And so when we see this word kavah, which is in the Hebrew, and we'll see another word there in the Hebrew, which is the root of this word. But when we see that, it means a hope. Let's keep it in English here. Hope. Our expectancy. Our hope. Our expectancy. I expect it. When God speaks, my hope is in it. When God speaks, I expect it to come to pass. This, and the Holy Spirit revealed it to me. And someone come and speak the utterance on you, the Holy Spirit will also reveal it to you. Don't say something and think the Holy Spirit is not going to reveal it to you. Somebody said, well, he just spoke the prophetic utterance on me. Somehow the Holy Spirit will also reveal it. Through fasting and praying, the Holy Spirit will reveal it. You know, he will reveal it to you. This is what God said to you and reveal it to you. No wishful thinking here, okay? My back there again. It's not wishful thinking. This is hope. This is not wishful thinking. This is expectancy. This is not wishful thinking. And so as we come and we look at it, we have a hope, expectancy. Waiting hopefully. We'll find in Genesis 49:18, Job 30:26, Psalm 41, Isaiah 5:4. And Isaiah 25:9. Waiting, hopefully. Here, when we find here in Lamentation, as we look at Jeremiah and Book of Jeremiah and Lamentation, there's a lot of tragedies going on here. The children of Israel, they are in captivity. God is chastising them. He loved them, but he chastised them. He put them in the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. They are in captivity. As Jeremiah prophesied about it, as he prophesied, it comes to pass. As it comes to pass, we'll find Jeremiah here in Lamentation, lamenting over Jerusalem. And so we see this tragedy going on that Jeremiah have experienced. But look at what he said. When we look at what he's saying here, and from verse 22 down to verse 25, he had hope in God's salvation and was willing to wait for it. He had hope in God's salvation, was willing to do what? To wait for it. Through the mercies, we are not consumed because his compassion fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, say my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. I hope in him is still sin that I wait. We sang the song. I was in the deacons, and when I was a deacon, we used to sing this song. And the deacons would stand up, and we start out leading the song up. My hope is built on nothing on this. In Jesus' blood and his righteousness, we'll sing that song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And we will bellow that song. I sing in the deacons. We all be singing those songs. We sing them. And then what happened is we see here Jeremiah, he bellows it out. The Lord is my portion, save my soul. Therefore I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, the soul who seek him. Jeremiah is not wavering, operating in faith, waiting on the Lord. And see, and this is the attitude that we must have when it comes to tragedies in our lives and situations in our lives. It's not just only prophetic utterance, then God tells us to wait, but also when crisis is going on in our lives. When things are not going the way that we would like to, for them to be. And there are so many things that goes on in our lives on a day-to-day basis that impacts our lives. Crisis, tragedies, trials and tribulation. John 16:33, Jesus reminds us that in this life you're going to have what? Troubles. Don't let nobody tell you there's going to be no suffering. That's one of those tricks of the devil again. They come and tell you there ain't going to be no suffering. There ain't going to be no trials, no tribulation. Jesus tells us in John 16:33 that we're in this life, we're going to have troubles. He said you're going to have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And we live above the circumstances as overcomers. But then we do what? Our hope is in Christ Jesus. When we're going through the stress, the distress, the squashing, the squeeze, the press, that was that definition of tribulation, the distress. And so when we're going through that, and then we stand and we can say what Jeremiah just said. And we anticipate, because he promised what? I never leave you or forsake you. Then he also said, I've overcome the world. And then we take on that attitude of an overcomer. We live our life in and through Christ Jesus as overcomers. Being content in whatever situation it is. Being physically and emotionally content in any situation. Paul said, I've learned to be content. And all these tragedies going on, Jeremiah looks back at all these tragedies going on. I've learned to be content. Then he speaks of God's faithfulness. Not only his faithfulness, he said, look at what he said about God. He said, the Lord is my portion, saves my soul, that I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. He's good to those who wait for him. And we're not talking about a good that we see in the English word, because he is good. He is the source of good. That is his what? Nature. That was one of his attributes. Good is his attribute, and he shares it with us. God is good to those who wait for him. So we wait with a readiness, with an anticipation, looking for it to happen at any minute. Because he promised, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he said, he give us peace. He said, peace. He said, I give you peace. He didn't tell me to look for it or try to find peace in a situation. He gives it to us. Even in the trials, in the tragedies, in the crisis, he said, I give you peace. A peace that surpasses what? Understanding. Not the peace that the world gives. We be out trying to find peace that the world gives. The world giving us peace. When we're waiting and anticipating with an expectancy, he said he promises peace. He gives us peace. As we look in Lamentation for this word wait, and we see it there outlined. Jeremiah is speaking to us how to grow in godliness and growing in godliness. And godly living involves learning how to respond to God. Discipline in our lives. And see, when we come and we look in the Lamentation, we see a picture of extreme judgment for extreme sins. Just because Israel, or the children of Israel, has been put into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. God punishing. He's judging. People say, well, you know, would he do that to the children? He did, and he loved them. When you go to Hosea, he speaks about the love. You see his love for Israel. You see his love. When we see the analogy about Gomer and Hosea, the prophet, that analogy, when we see that, I tell you, God gave an illustration. He shows us things in the Bible, illustration. He loves Israel. But he punishes sin. He loves us, and he punishes sin. When somebody come and tell you, say, well, you know, how can a loving God do that to you? You ever heard people say that? God's a loving God. Why would he punish you like that? He loves us. He loves you. He loves everybody. He loves all of us. He punishes sin. When it comes to God and living, we have to keep this in mind. We must keep this in mind. Because the Bible tells us, and we know that God only disciplines those he loves. He only disciplines us because he loves us. Jeremiah writing here on the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, let us know that. But he said, that there is hope. Even though we've gone through all this, the Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seek him. And we have to understand this as children of God. We have to understand this. Understand that he loves us, even if the parents correct their children. Understanding that this truth can enable us to embrace God's discipline, knowing that it's for our good. It's for our good. When he disciplines us, it's for our good. Even though when we're in tragedy, we're waiting and anticipating and expecting, and you know, all that's going on about us, he is doing something for us, and it's for our good. And when God disciplines, we have to know it's for our good, and it's for the purpose of restoration and healing. And so when we come to look at this waiting and living godly before him, hope and expectancy and wait for the salvation of God. No matter what's going on in our life, if he's disciplining us, we have to keep in mind we wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. His discipline will not last forever, though at times it may feel like it will. Excuse me. It may feel like it will, but it will not last forever. And so, as we come waiting for him, we wait on him with an expectancy. We wait on him, anticipating when whatever he tells us and promised us that he's going to do it. He will do it. He keeps his promises. And let's focus our attention on that, because sometimes when it comes to waiting, we try to fix it ourselves. We'll try to fix it ourselves. when we see strong definition of waiting again, we'll see it in Micah. When we go to Micah, the seventh chapter of Micah, we'll see a definition of wait. And so as we recap and look at this, Jeremiah had almost given up hope. Let's go back to Jeremiah before we go to Micah, because we're talking about hope. When we look at the book of Jeremiah and we go to Lamentation, Jeremiah had just about given up hope. He's lamenting. He's just about given up hope. Verse number 20. Look at verse 20. My soul still remember and sink within me. My soul still remember. You flash back and remember all the good old days. And he said, then my soul, my soul still remembers and sinks within me. Bow down. within me. So Jeremiah is just about giving up. Then he remembers something that restored his hope again. Look at verse number 21 before we leave here. Verse 21. Then I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. Now, if you take that word hope and put weight there, guess what you got? Wait, I have hope. Then I recall my mind, therefore I have hope. And then he goes on and says, look at us. This was the mercies of God. Verse number 22. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. God mercy, God grace and mercy is new every day. As we wait on God, his mercies, his grace and his mercies are new every day. And then Jeremiah goes on to say, as he go into this mercy about God, covenant love, a steadfast love. That's what he's speaking about, God, covenant love, a steadfast love. It is it's linked with compassion, truth and faithfulness and goodness. Jeremiah is looking back, and he reflects back, and he's looking back at the days when there was time when they could offer sacrifices to God. Why they can't offer sacrifices today in captivity? It's hopeless. We've been cut off. It looks hopeless. The ability to offer sacrifices was gone, and everything seemed hopeless. But God has said this. This word, H-E-S-E-D, God has said, which is in the Hebrew, in Strong. God has said, remain. Meaning what? God, covenant love. God's steadfast love. It remained. Even though things look hopeless and helpless, God's steadfast love and God's covenant love remain. Therefore, we'll wait on him. We'll wait patiently for him. Wait on the Lord. And be of good courage. And we wait on him as we wait on him. And I think as we look at this waiting, we'll find that this is something that's not passive. And here's a warning that goes along with this. Let's not get up and take care of things ourselves. Because when we look at Micah writes about it. Micah writes in the sixth chapter, verse number. Let's go to seven. I'm at the wrong one again. The seventh chapter, verse number seven. And Micah writes, therefore I will look to the Lord, and I will wait for God my salvation. My God will hear me. There's something about waiting for God. He said, I will wait for him. I will look to the Lord, and I will wait for the God of my salvation. I will wait for him. Micah is writing about a time of crisis too. And here, when Micah writes about it, it's a different Hebrew word. Get your Strong dictionary out again. And 3176, Strong number 3176, is to wait, to tarry, to hope, to trust, expect, be patient, remain in anticipation. Not that much difference, but to remain in anticipation. So when we waited on him to tarry, we're waiting on him. And Michael tells us the correct way to hope and wait for the Lord. And as we said earlier, it is to steadfastly expect his mercy, his salvation, his rescue. And while waiting, here's the warning that I start to give you and I stop. And while waiting, I'm going to pause there. And while waiting, not to take matters in our own hand. See, that's one thing about waiting. We'll take matters in our own hand. And we know about this, taking matters in our own hand. God told us he's going to do it. He speaks to us. Then we start taking the matters in our own hand, not waiting for the move of the Holy Spirit. The Bible said that Simeon was led by the Spirit to the temple. The leading of the Holy Spirit. He said he was led by the Spirit. You see, this went God and did something to himself. He was led by the Spirit. And we'll find, and here is the illustration that God gives us, and you can search the scriptures, and I tell you all the time to search the scriptures. When Paul was at Berea, they said the Berean was noble-minded. They searched the scriptures daily. Search the scriptures. And we always speak about it, and we can have a sermon on it, and we can get a number of sermons on it. It's in Genesis chapter 15, verses number 1. And look how far it run. And here, make a note of this one. Genesis, I want you to compare Genesis 15, 1 to all the way through the 17th chapter. 15 to 17, two chapters, 15, 17, 22. Stop at the 22nd verse, verse number 22. And we know what it's about. I'm going to give you a brief synopsis. It's about Abraham, the promised child, the child of promise. God speaks to Abraham and tells him about this child of promise, Isaac. And what happens? As you search the scriptures between Genesis 51 to 17, all the way through 17:22, take a close look at it. It's two chapters. We don't have time to read it. But you know what I'm talking about. They're anticipating, they're waiting, and they're doing all that necessary. But somebody came along, Sarah, comes along and decides to give Abraham Hagar. To do something about it. God had already promised. God had made the promise. They were old in age. He had already made the promise that it was going to come to pass. But they did something. And instead of waiting on God, they took the matters in their own hands. When we're waiting on God, no matter what we're going through, no matter what's happening in our lives, what type of crisis is there, what is going on about us, we wait on him in anticipation with hope, but we do not take it in our own hand and do something about it. See, that's in our nature to do something about it. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait on him. And as we look in Psalm 37, it tells us that rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who brings wicked scheme to pass. And Psalm 37:7, he tells us to rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Through our Frankie Dawson and his brother minister word evangelism, as we search the scriptures and as we continue to look to Jesus Christ, once again, as we come to the end of this broadcast, asking God to continue to watch over us and bless us as we move into the next year. God bless.